Blog Talk Radio.
It's all love. Only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school. My household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu. No fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes. Only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy. And I rarely drink water out the tap cause it's filthy.
Lentil soup is mental fruit and ginger root is good for the youth. Fresh vegetable with them Italian stew. Sweet yam fries with the green hallelujah. Careful how you season and prepare your foods, cause you don't wanna lose vitamins and minerals, and that's a jewel. Life brings life, it's valuable. So I eat what comes from the ground, it's natural. Let your food be your medicine, no accelerant. Strictly herb generates from the sun, cause I got melanin and drink water. 8 glasses a day, cause that's what they say.
They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. Be healthy, y'all.
Yeah, hold the fuck up, yo. Take this little intermission. Listen what the fuck we got to say, you know. World is born, son. Niggas.
Oh, yes. I try to stop it before that little cursing interlude come on. I don't get to the switchboard fast enough. All right. This is Some Guy Named Jay, and welcome to the Wellness Wednesday radio special. Yes, yes. Welcome to the Wellness Wednesday radio special. I'm Some Guy Named Jay, and today is March 20th, and this is our Heal the Community radio special with community leader and CEO of ABC Squared Foundation, A Better Chance, A Better Community, Chester Williams. You know, get more information on his organization by visiting www.abc2foundation.blogspot.com. Before I bring him on and speak with him about what we can do to heal the community, I want to give a few shout-outs. First, I want to give a shout-out to the author and poetess, Markeisha Wyatt Bunn. You can purchase her poetry books, Reflection, Past, Present, Future, and Entangled Hearts on Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, if you have an Amazon Prime account, be sure to stream the latest horror mystery film, Untimely Reunion. Stream Untimely Reunion on Amazon Prime today. All right, let's bring on Chester Williams and let's speak to him. Okay, just bear with me. Chester.
Good evening, Jay. How you doing? It's good to be on the call tonight.
Yes, sir. It's good to have you. Are you feeling well today?
I am feeling a whole lot better. You know, I've been under the weather a little bit, but still been busy and productive.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better today as well. So you could feel good while you're doing the show.
Exactly. And give you 110%.
Yes, sir. Now, for those that are not familiar with your organization, if this is their first time hearing about it here on the special, let them know about your organization and what you do and all that you do for the community.
Wonderful. Thank you for that question, sir. Get started about ABC2. It's not a typical story, but I know everybody said they always go back to their roots. But for me, it started as a journal entry that I had completed in the eighth grade in an infant middle school, which is a local middle school where I'm from in Halifax County, North Carolina. I'm a very rural area, very country, but Love in Place. The article journal entry was the change that you see yourself being in your community, or how you can make change in your community, or see change being made. And for me, it was very challenging because I grew up in, you know, North Carolina's in the Bible Belt. So we had a lot of strict parents and community parents and some traditions that was in our communities that young people are seen and not heard. And most times your path is planned for you with no questions, to go to college, become a doctor, become a lawyer, become a teacher, or whatever that is, that path that has been ingrained in you. But I knew that something in me, when that question was posed to write a journal about, resonated with the path that I was on was great, and I know that I will continue on that path. But there were some things in me burning right then that was going on in my community that I wanted to have a voice about to make some changes. So the change that I said is allow young people to have a voice, to be a part of the change making or help progress in the community. And that came with the title, A Better Chance, A Better Community. Well, if you give a community or the people in that community a chance, they can do better, which goes to an old saying that we say, if you know better, you do better. But there was a lot of things that was lacking in my community. So I still live through that narrative. This was just an article, journal entry that I wrote. So I graduated high school and did like every other young person in my community wants to do, get away, because there was nothing for me there. And I wanted to live life. I wanted to experience life because I knew there was a life beyond the country. So I went to North Carolina A&T, lived my life, became an educator, teaching mathematics, went to graduate school at Indiana University, was doing my thing, and was doing my thing. But there was always this burning passion pulling me back home. And being in Indiana and I was being an educator, I realized that I was doing a great service to the community there. And I love Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana, which is a wonderful place to live. IU is a wonderful university. And the school that I work at was like probably the best place that anyone could ever work at Jackson Creek Middle School, which was amazing. But there was one thing that was missing. There was not many people that looked like me. So every year at the beginning we have a convocation. The superintendent will always say that 90% of the people that were teachers or work in the district was from the community, and it's important for the community to take care of their own. Now, I didn't take that as being black and white or anything racial or anything, but it resonated with me that the community must take care of their own. And it reminds me of things that my grandmother used to say and people at church used to say, that it takes a village to raise a child. So I'm in this well-to-do district doing work with access to so much. I started thinking about home, not having access to a lot of the resources in education, in economic development. And then it started lining up with my grandmother. She became ill around 2011, and one of her requests was that I come back home. So I started making those transitions to come back to North Carolina and to Halifax County. And in that journey, I went to my alma mater, Southeast Halifax High School, for Alumni Career Day to talk about my experiences in Indiana, experiences over life since leaving Halifax County. Now, remind you, I graduated in 98, and I've probably been back home from 98 to 2011, 12, about a total of 10 times. So there was a lot of disconnect from the community because I wanted to put that part of my life because I thought it was shameful to come from the country and stuff like that. Didn't know that I was still falling into my purpose. So when grandmother told me to move back and went to the Alumni Career Day and sharing my journey and my story with those young students, they looked back at me and did not believe that I could have come from those woods or graduated from that school to have had those experiences in life. Now, don't get me wrong. There are others from my high school and from my area who experienced so much. But because of our own personal thinking, we left home. And I said that we forgot home. We just forget to tell our stories. So through that moment, I had to reconnect with my community and reconnect with my people, but also understand that the people at home still were speaking the same narratives and the same heartbreak and the same depressing stories of I want to leave. And I'm coming back with a profound thinking that it takes the community to take care of itself. So when I went home and I went to my closet and stuff, I stumbled upon that journal and that journal entry because I was figuring out what should I do moving back here. I did go into teaching here. I taught in Virginia at Greensburg County High School for a couple of years once I returned because I had high income. But that was a rude awakening because even in that high school, as beautiful as the staff is there, beautiful as the students are, it was not like Jackson Creek or being in Bloomington, Indiana, who had access to so much. This school was struggling not because the students didn't have the will or the desire. The students just didn't have access to adequate education or good quality education, just like it's so true in Halifax County and other areas. And it was just a lot of stress upon the teachers and a lot of stress upon the students to be successful. Even though I've reached the students and were able to connect with them, but a lot of things that the law mandates in communities like ours make it very challenging to ensure successful education. So with the journal in hand and think about what I want to do, I knew that it has to be education. And it has to be something that can be able to support the classroom itself that allows the freedom to explore education without the mandates from the state. So ABC2 birthed out of that logic as it's something that we can create an organization that work with young people in the community, one, to give them a voice, two, to help them get access and create opportunities that sometimes cannot be created through the educational arena because of the restrictions and the limited access and the system that plays that role to suppress and keep people from certain geographical locations or people of certain ethnicity to keep them limited and not have access. So that first year in 2012, I put a group of those students that I talked to in my high school at Southeast Halifax High School together just to have what they call a kickback session, just to chill and talk about the issues of the community. And to my surprise, when it should not have been, those young people was able to articulate the issues, the problems of the community even better than most adults who are elected officials. They were also able to add solutions to them. That's something that I wasn't used to. Normally I talk to adults, they'll beat the problems. They'll talk about the problems all day long and continue to talk about them but never add solutions to them. So one of the things that the young people got bringing up was the high level of crime in the area and what that crime is coming from, and also how adults pinpoint and blame young people for violence and crimes in their communities. Young people were telling me it's not that we want to do violence and crime. We're bored. We don't have nothing to do. We don't have access to activities. And then when we request activities or try to do, we'll monitor like we're prisoners by the police. So if you want to monitor us with police in the schools and all that, we might as well commit the crimes. So that was real talk for me. So ask them what they want to do. They talk about, well, we know that healthy eating, healthy living is a big thing in our community. We don't have access to fresh produce. They also know they didn't have access to recreation opportunities. They also knew that the poor quality education that they received, and also being in a district or in a county that has three school districts that are divided by race, obviously, but also by economic disparities. So they thought that was very unfair and didn't know how that decisions like that could be made. And that was things that was taking place right in their eyes when they see that. And they realized that a lot of people left and then come back or invest in their communities as they were doing other communities to rebuild. So we began to say, what was a project that could be done for ABC2? And in that moment, they immediately thought about how to beautify their downtown square in their community, to be able to do square foot gardens. So we started taking them to different trainings through the local corporate extension office, through Resourceful Communities, which is through the Conservation Fund, which is a national organization that support organizations in rural communities or organizations that support marginalized and underserved communities. So through that, they learn about food justice, they learn about food insecurities, and start being able to make their own changes. So they call themselves Team BASE, and BASE stands for being a shining example. So with that, they continued to grow, and they grew 4 square foot gardens in the downtown area. And it became, over time, the community really took hold of that, the household of that. The deli that was there would start using some of the produce that was vegetables that was growing in the square foot boxes. Then an organization called DIRT, Downtown Infill Restoration Project, they started putting outdoor patio with umbrellas out there, and then on the other side we'll put sunflower seeds and flowers and stuff like that to make it beautiful. And then the town adopted it as the town square. So now it has become a congregated space. And that empowers our young people to know that even their little small change empower a whole community to embrace a space that is still relevant today for social gatherings, for community change, for community talks, for growing food, things that just started from a seed that they planted. So from that, ABC2 continued to grow, and now we're the world changer because we believe that we could change the world one community at a time as long as we have youth leading the way and being a part of the discussion and being at the table to share their ideas and be respected for their ideas that they bring. I know I said a lot there.
Yeah, that you actually asked questions already. I was going to ask you. You already answered some of the questions I was going to ask later, but I'm glad you got it all in. Definitely thank you for that. I also forgot to plug one of the plugs earlier in the program. We're going to go ahead and do this now. This Wellness Wednesday special is also being brought to you by Wellness Waffles. You can get those nutritional and tasty Wellness Waffles at Fit Power Nutrition. Fit Power Nutrition is located at 4456 The Plaza, Suite D in Charlotte, North Carolina, 28215. Ask for Coach Carmen. You can get those delicious Wellness Waffles. Oh, yes, they have a lot of vitamins and nutrients within the waffles, also some special ingredients. One of the special ingredients that make it taste good and that makes it healthier for you is...
Wow. I mean, you have me blown away with Wellness Waffle. I'm like, wow. I have to definitely try it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You need to come out. When you come out to Charlotte, North Carolina, definitely check out Fit Power Nutrition and get you some Wellness Waffles. They're tasty. I've had them. They're good. And they're also sponsoring this Wellness Wednesday radio special right now. So, again, for anybody listening, just go to, if you're in Charlotte or whenever you visit Charlotte, the address is 4456 The Plaza, and it's Suite D. It's in Suite D in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, yeah. And just because they're nutritional and they're more of a, have like a healthier blend and have some of the Herbalife flavor in it, don't think it's going to be nasty, because a lot of people run from that word. Like healthy food. A lot of people are a food that has that's rich in vitamins and nutrients. People just automatically assume it's going to taste nasty because they're so used to high fructose corn syrup and all this other stuff. They're so used to the chemicals that they just assume that when something doesn't have that, it's going to be nasty, but that's definitely not the case. So, you know, y'all try that. And same to you, Chester, when you come on out. Definitely got to get some. Definitely got to get that.
It's on my list to do. So save me 4 waffles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Now let's get back into the discussion.
Yes,
it's a lot of great points you brought up, a lot of great things. But I also want to talk about this. We recently had several community events. Recently, could you tell the audience a little bit about those community events you recently had, and the community event coming up very soon?
I sure can do that, definitely. With ABC2, we do a lot of great things in our community, as you heard initially, in terms of the story, how we evolve. And that's because for 2019, our theme is Year of Intentional Impact. So we want to be intentional about everything that we do, even though that's been part of our strategic movement since starting in 2012, to address the community needs as the community needs it. And started from the ground, started at the grassroots level and working up. but making sure that everyone is represented in that conversation. So recently, we had still working with our four focus areas in ABC2, which is healthy eating, active living, civic engagement, and youth empowerment, and we said with a splash of entrepreneurship. Because in everything, we want young people to take ownership of it and then learn how they could be owners with this. Because in our communities, because there are blank canvases, as we call them, for artists to be able to paint and create their own and turn it and make it something vital and something they could give back to the community. So we have community days that we have at our farm. We have a community farm. Yes, a 2-acre community farm that was created by the youth. And this was in response to their work in the Healthy Corner Store Initiative that's part of our statewide initiative in North Carolina to ensure, and it's a national initiative now too, to get healthy produce into corner stores. And those corner stores are places within communities that are highly known where you get your snacks from or you get the lottery tickets and cigarettes and get your juice. Those places, because those are common places in communities. But sometimes there's a disconnect in terms of that I can actually purchase produce in these places. And working with store owners to be able to change their mindset, to be able to provide healthier options for their community members because they're right there. Because some communities don't have access to grocery stores. They're either 30 minutes to an hour away. And then in communities that are underserved and marginalized, they do not have transportation. They have a lot of barriers that keep them from getting to fresh produce or local foods or getting to health care or getting to quality education or getting to those things. So we wanted to help bridge that gap by being a part of that initiative. But we realized in that initiative, even though it was a great initiative for the state, that the community piece was missing from that. So we helped create that community piece there. Go out and ask the community, one, were they aware that this corner store was in that community? Or what are some of the their ideas or their thoughts about the corner store? Did they think it was unsafe? Or did they think it was a place that I didn't want to send my child? What was their thought about that corner store? And once we remove that doubt, we start asking even deeper, what would it take for you to support this store? If they provided produce or healthy options, would you purchase them? We would try those. We had good bowls that one of our community organizations created here with UNC Chapel Hill. We sampled those at the corner store and see to draw customers there and ask them what they would buy. And then we would give that report to the store owner to help build that. And the store owners really love that idea, knowing that their customers will buy particular produce. So they will put apples out for the community versus oranges when the community don't want oranges. But through that work, we learn as we start identifying farmers in our communities that in our communities, even though North Carolina is known for agriculture, as other states have big pieces of agriculture in their communities, over the years it has been industrialized or manufacturized, and then from that it became non-existent in those small towns and communities where it just non-existent. Small farmers is what driven or drove economic prosperity in America. Or small businesses and some. I say farmers, because when you think about when a small town was thriving, it was because there was many and multiple small farmers in the communities with their families, and they would congregate in the downtown close to them to bargain, to trade, and to get the meal made or get the flour made and things like that, or get the egg and things from the grocery store and create other businesses there. We didn't have it anymore. A lot of our farmers were condensed down to growing those major crops that may not, we may benefit from it in terms of what we wear, but they grew tobacco, they grew cotton, they grew things that was shipped out, that was for export to other countries or internationally. So understand, people want to make their money and live. But this was a concern for young people. How can we be a part of an initiative that's going to increase access to local healthy foods where there's no one creating that? So they wanted to create a community food-based hub through the community farm. And with the community farm, it would be like an incubator or empowerment place to learn how to grow food, to learn how to prosper and create a business off of agriculture, not just growing, but there's distribution, there's travel, there's washing, there's prep, there's cooking, all different parts of this food value system they want to make sure that community is aware of and how they can fit into that. And they want to use it as a leverage of justice to be able to address the social health of determinants, being able to address the environmental issues that are arising in our community, like dumping coal ash, the pipeline, and so many other things that are happening in our communities. But how can we become environmental stewards in that, where we're protecting our land and we're also being able to provide for our communities, so that we don't run into the issue that when another initiative comes here, we find out that the community lacks to make it supportive or make it successful. So with that firm, we have been able to mobilize over 50 young people that has been a part of the farm growth and develop learning styles and a curriculum that will provide an 8-week course to train, well, we call it the Farmers in Training Curriculum, that will train young people to go into the farmer profession, to learn about the different aspects, because agriculture is a little different than what it was back in the 80s. You don't need 200 acres to grow. You can grow and make at least $100,000 a year off a half acre, learn how to do small acreage farming. And by introducing youth to that, now we have multiple farmers that are throughout the community curated to create their own farms, and they can get GAP certified, learning those languages that evolve so they can sell to a Whole Foods, or they can sell to their corner store, or they can sell to their local hospital or local institutions that have food. We have a farm-to-school program that we support and partner with our school districts and work in landscape, where they're teaching young people how to take the food that they grow on the farm, and they're selling it to their own cafeteria, and they're eating it themselves. That's empowerment. So through our farm, we have community days to help make sure that we're continuing to build that concept, continue to share that wealth in our community, that we can build our own community food-based system so that this is modeled in other communities, so that we're not relying on a lot of produce and food and things within our community-based system from others, but we'll learn how to collaborate with other communities if they're able to grow things or able to provide things that we don't have in our community, and vice versa. So that has been wonderful. We have grown from we started with like 5 people at community days, but these past weekends we have grown to near 100, which has been fascinating to see our communities come out, and communities from all backgrounds, from those who have assets to those who don't, those who have a green thumb and some that just have a brown thumb. So we embrace everyone to become a part of this system and fit in where they're comfortable. If you're comfortable with watering and you can be the best darn waterer at the garden, we want you out there to water. We'll get you a watering schedule that fits yours to come out. If your job is putting the dirt down and packing it, we'll put you down. If you're a young person and about 5 years old, we'll put you and we'll have you draw. We'll give you some seeds, let you draw what it looks like, and be able to tell us what it tastes like and things like that. Everybody has a place when it comes to our food or growing our food. And now we're working on building those relationships with the store owners to make sure that they have access to raised beds where we can grow the particular produce that they need for their store. We also are going to get a high tunnel, so we'll be able to have extended season and be able to mass produce those things within our communities. So our community days are every third and fourth Saturday, but we're there every Saturday doing work, and our young people come throughout the week. We have a farm coordinator. We also have cooking classes that we kick off with young people in our communities, and this is in partnership with North Carolina A&T State University, which is my alma mater for undergrad, so I really love that. So what we do is provide nutrition lessons and cooking lessons from non-actual frying and cooking and stuff all the way up to a full-blown kitchen, but teaching young people how to prepare healthier meals that are fun and exciting. But we do it in a Iron Chef type style, so we teach them the lessons, teach them their way around the kitchen, teach them the proper safety measures in the kitchen and things like that. And then we put them to work to cook it. And we expose them to local chefs in our community because we have quite many local chefs that live on the lake that are associated with the food network and things like that, but we didn't know. And sometimes we don't know the resources we have until we ask. And then that's important for these young people to be exposed to, that you have a wealth of resources around you, so we're not as limited as one may think, but take those resources we are blessed with and let's work it and create and fill those voids and do what we have to do, because I think every community is blessed with resources that's supposed to make them sufficient, but also help them to be support to another community that may be lacking that. In those and we all supposed to connect in those ways. And another thing that we – oh, yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Well, I want to say we're at the halfway mark, so we're going to take a quick intermission and get more into what you're saying and everything. I'm glad you're providing this information. And we're going to get more into the, you know, the community events and what the children, when they, you know, participate in the community events, what they can do to help heal the community and things like that. I love what you said about getting the fresh produce out to the small, you know, the small stores and things like that, just building the community. We're going to elaborate more on that on the next half. We're going to take a quick intermission. Again, I just want to say everybody's listening to the Wellness Wednesday radio special with Chester Williams of the ABC2 Foundation, www.abc2foundation.blogspot.com. Also want to give a shout out to Markeisha Wyatt Bunn. Check out her books, Reflection, Past, Present, Future, and Entangled Hearts, available on Amazon.com. Speaking of Amazon.com, if you have an Amazon Prime account, you definitely got to watch that movie, that new horror murder mystery film, Untimely Reunion. Definitely stream it on Amazon Prime. And also, this Wellness Wednesday radio special, it's like a tongue twister, Wellness Wednesday radio special. I got to say it three times fast. This Wellness Wednesday radio special is being brought to you by Wellness Waffles. Get you some nutritional wellness waffles at Fit Power Nutrition at 4456 The Plaza, Suite D in Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you're in Charlotte, North Carolina, get you some nutritional wellness waffles in the morning at 4456 The Plaza, Suite D. All right, let's go on ahead and take this quick intermission. We want to play the song So Many Things from Abiona. Then we want to come back, talk more to Chester, and that's what we're doing. Also, if you have any questions for Chester, we're going to take that in the next half too. All right, listen to this.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So many things are taking place. All the innocent people are dead. So many diseases are breaking out. Everything is a malfunction. So many bodies and stretch away waiting on them funeral day, yeah. So many things are taking place. John West Daddy, ayo. Where is that love and the unity?
Unity.
And we don't have to come from the same community. Ayo, hey. Tired to see candle light, tired to see another brother die, tired to hear another mother cry. Oh, hey. So many things are taking place. All the innocent people are dead. So many diseases are breaking out. Everything is a malfunction. So many bodies and straight away waiting on them funeral day. Taking place, done with daddy, ayo. For so long we've been living in fear. It's getting worse, I know they acting like they don't care. And as I speak now, some of the victimized, not even the youth, them cannot focus with that state of mind. My heart goes out for you, for me.
Turn on the TV, me scared. Turn on the radio, so listening news, me get afraid. Yo, so many things are taking place. All the innocent people are dead. So many diseases are breaking out. Everything is a malfunction. So many bodies and straight away waiting on them funeral day. So many things are taking place. Don't wait, study, ayo. Sometimes me ask you to even reach me mouth, but them said the system is just from on to mouth. We're positive, but time they're still adults. When it's hard and you can't find no way out, and you're overshadowed by your fear, and you can't stop the tears from rolling down your cheeks. So many things are taking place. All the innocent people are dead. So many diseases are breaking out. Everything is a malfunction. So many bodies and stretch away waiting on them funeral day. So many things are taking place. John Wesley, hey, where is the love and the unity? The unity. And we don't have to come from the same community. Yo, hey, tired to see candle light, tired to see another brother die, tired to hear another mother crying. Ooh, 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 hey. So many things are taking place, all the innocent people are dead. So many diseases are breaking out, everything is a malfunction. So many bodies and straight away waiting on them funeral day. Yeah. So many things are taking place. Done with study. Hey, oh. Wow. Wow.
Wow. Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations. Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
All right. Welcome back. You're listening to the Wellness Wednesday radio special with some guy named Jay and our guest, Chester Williams of the ABC2 Foundation. Yes, yes.
Oh, yes.
And before we get into the second half of this discussion, I just want to give some shout-outs and make some plugs, like I always do. You know, I want to give a shout-out to Markeisha, give a shout-out to the author and poetess, Markeisha Wyatt Bunn. You can purchase her poetry books, Reflection, Past, Present, and Future, and Entangled Hearts on Amazon.com. Speaking of Amazon.com, if you have an Amazon Prime account, be sure to stream the latest horror mystery film, Untimely Reunion. Stream Untimely Reunion on Amazon Prime today. Yes, yes, that's a good movie. Chester, check that out if you got Amazon Prime.
I will do that. And we'll have a discussion about it one day.
definitely. And speaking of Untimely Reunion and Amazon Prime, here on this network, blogtalkradio.com/podcasts on demand, on the Podcast On Demand Network, we will have Felicia Rivers. Felicia Rivers is the writer and co-director of the movie.
Oh, wow.
And she's the producer, executive producer of the Amazon Prime film Untimely Reunion. She will be here Friday, this Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And she's bringing the whole part of the whole cast of Untimely Reunion with her. We're going to have a Comic-Con style panel with the actors and the producers and things of Untimely Reunion. They're going to talk about the movie, talk about their roles. And we're also going to have an indie film workshop after the Q&A panel. So
yes,
and Chester, hopefully you can tune in and listen, and the rest of you as well. We're going to speak to we're going to talk to Felicia Rivers. She's also going to talk about her deal with Amazon Prime and all the movies that she has. You could check out her resume on IMDb, you know, and see all the movies that she has out and all the movies she produced and things like that. So certainly do that. And I also want to say this too. This Wellness Wednesday radio special is being brought to you by Wellness Waffles. Get you a stack of Wellness Waffles. Get you a good plate of Wellness Waffles at Fit Power Nutrition. Fit Power Nutrition is located 4456 The Plaza, Suite D in Charlotte, North Carolina, 28215. Ask for Coach Carmen. Get those delicious Wellness Waffles. And also this Friday, again, join us here on this network for the cast of Untimely Reunion on Amazon Prime and the Indie Film Workshop this Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, let's get back into it, Chester. You were saying a lot of great things. I know I cut you off, you know, to start to do the intermission. So if there's any talking points that you wanted to bring up, any kind of anything you wanted to mention before we took the intermission that you want to just start back on before I get back into the questions?
No, I was just talking about the Healthy Corner Store Initiative and using the farm to create assets for produce in those communities. And I think that that's something that we should be having conversations about in all our communities, growing our own foods.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, could you tell the listeners the importance of growing our own food?
Right. It is important to grow your own food because, one, you're also certain what you're getting into your bodies. Also, local foods is more important, especially like with the bees. You always hear that it's always best to have a teaspoon of honey, of your own local honey from your community, because it's made up of the properties that you're breathing every day and the elements that you need in your body to build your immune system. And that's same for the food that you grow. So if you grow it in the area where you live, you are building your own body up to be immune to a lot of diseases or viruses that come through your communities. But also grow your own food, build your community. You come together because there are three things that bring us together as a people. That's no matter who you are. There's food, there's music, and there's good laughter. Those things, we come together. And that has been true as we continue to do this work. And that has been the foundation of rock of every community. And that's no matter who you are. That's your foundation, is bringing people together around food.
Oh, yes. I totally agree. I totally agree. Let me throw some claps on it for you.
Also, it makes it affordable. You can grow in abundance when you have seed in your own community. When you grow food, it becomes affordable because you have an abundance that is then within your community. One seed, let's say of cucumbers, can produce you about a pound of cucumbers or about 5 pounds of cucumbers. And if you go to a grocery store, you're going to pay about $2 for one, what they will call local cucumber, but it may come from California. But you can grow an abundance of cucumbers and sell them for like 25 cents or sell them for 50 cents at the farmer's market. And that's another thing. If you have a farmer's market in your community, please support your local farmers there. Because most times that's their livelihood to be able to support their farms, because it's not easy being a farmer and being a small farmer in your community. But they're providing some of the best quality produce that can give you the vitamins that you need. Most time it's probably the most organic, because many of those small farmers are not using those dangerous chemicals that are being used to preserve your food that's been traveled from several states from you to you. Because everything at a grocery store don't look
pretty because it's fresh. So I want to make sure that people are getting what they needed to buy the nutrients that are need to remain healthy, because we are what we eat. And if you're not sure what you eat, then you're not sure who you are.
Oh,
and
yes,
real.
I agree. That's a great quote. I gotta steal that and retweet that. You know, you are what you eat, and if you don't know who, you know, if you don't know what you're eating, you don't know who you are.
Exactly. So that's important that we teach that, that it's not about just the amount of our food, but that's what we have. There are two things that people have in their community that they have access to. That's land. And that's rural communities I'm talking about, land and people. And if you're able to work that in a way, land is going to be here always. And that's becoming a lost commodity in our communities, especially of people of color. We don't hold on to our land, or we're selling, or we get ready for quick money. But land is here forever. It can feed you. It gives you a place to build your house. It gives you leverage. It gives you capital. It gives you buying power in your life, and we want more people to understand to take care of it, and sometimes use land to make money for you in different ways. And we teach young people that if you're not going to grow food, replenish with trees, because we need trees to have clean air. But everybody's cutting down the timber, and they wonder why there's a lot of people with asthma, a lot of people with sickness, because we are destroying our environment. And who are the best stewards of the land? Then we are. We are responsible for taking care of the world. So everything that's provided to us is from the land. So we need to use the land properly. And that's to feed us, that's to take care of us, and that's to provide a shelter. And those are the things that we seem to be lacking in our everyday society. We shouldn't have people that are homeless. We shouldn't have people that are hungry or living in poverty, because the land is supposed to provide everything that we need.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I totally agree. I totally agree with that.
Right.
Oh, yes.
And,
go ahead.
And that was a conversation that we just had recently. We had a visit to our farm from agricultural administrators from North Carolina A&T, and they was talking with the students, because one thing that in this program and with anything that people do in life, we want to make sure there's a connection and then there's a sustainable plan time moves forward. Not necessarily directly to ABC2, but how the work that the young people are doing now, how do they connect it to their own personal dreams moving forward? And that's important, because they're building investment here at home, but yet they still have their own individual dreams. And one of the young ladies said that she wanted to become a dermatologist. And she's on that path, and she's going to become a dermatologist and going to be an excellent dermatologist. But the question that was posed to her, what I said before, is how do you take what you learned here about growing food, growing your own foods, how do you make that work within your means of your career as a dermatologist? She thought about it, and she gave one of the most profound answers, is that I could grow herbs, I could grow different things, and create my own skin line. Therefore, I'm connecting it back to the land or to the farm that I started to be able to provide education to the people that have skin problems on the natural properties that come from a miracle fruit, or natural properties that come from a cucumber, or natural properties that come from different herbs that also build health and immune and other health benefits than just your skin. That was powerful to hear a young person make that direct connection. And for another young person who wants to be a nurse to understand that we can do prescription programs where we'll write a prescription for fresh produce to patients to address obesity, to address heart problems that are prevalent in our community. And there are various produce or vegetables that not have even been grown that has been tested that can fight cancer or can beat cancer or do different things like that, to start experimenting in their medical profession. So you have young people who are in middle school, early high school, starting to think like that. Think about the power that a farm can do to a whole community when they're working. It becomes more than that negative connotation that we grew up with of slavery and stuff, and that we shouldn't have any attachment to the land because we were stripped from the land. No, we should be proud to have land and be proud of the land that we walk on, that we stand on, and that we live on, and we should use it to be a powerful force moving forward. Because there's a reason why they stripped us from it, because they know that it was powerful. It made us healthier. We were smart. We were powerful, and we could not be removed. So we need to get back to our roots and stop thinking about land in that negative way. I'm not saying that negative things didn't happen, but those negative things happened intentionally to create that disconnect from land now, or disconnect from the woods with the strange fruit things and stuff, to intimidate us as a people and a community to become dependent on what? Corporations that have no faith, that don't care about our everyday living or our everyday health, but only care about their bottom lines and getting rich. But yet, when you go to their home, they have the gardens in their backyard. They're getting the best of the quality of land provided to them. But they would sell us the crap. And we know better because we created farming. We created these opportunities that is health and wellness, what we call today. So,
exactly.
So I just want to make sure young people have the opportunities to do what they do and do it in a profound way.
Oh yes, oh yes, definitely. Thank you for that. I got one last question before we wrap it up. In addition to the farming and the agriculture, things like that, does the ABC2 Foundation also provide any fellowship programs for the youth? Any type of fellowship? They have problems, things like that. They need somebody to talk to. Need somebody to sit down and listen to them. We also provide that as well in the foundation.
Yes, we provide mentorship programs for our young people and peer-to-peer mentors. A lot of our world changers, when they graduate and go to college, we try to connect them with the one world changers who are still here. One, that keeps them engaged and aware of what's going on back home, but also help to uplift those young people in our community that may sometimes hit those spots of discomfort or not sure of themselves. And that's pretty common in our communities because we're one of those, we believe in sweeping things under the rug and we don't talk about things or shame. We break that. And one example of how that really became profound is HIV/AIDS is very prevalent in our communities. We're one of the top counties in North Carolina with HIV/AIDS new cases. And that's not a bad thing. When you talk new cases, that means that people are getting tested, right? And knowing their status, there was a time that was taboo. But our young people 3 years ago lost a friend at the age of 20 to HIV/AIDS, and no one knew that this individual had HIV/AIDS. And you wouldn't even thought that they had HIV. These young people, because of that awakening, created an event on December 1st to bring awareness to their community that talked about the facts that was being printed about the new cases. It was printed about the statistics, but having a conversation about it, and they pulled together. Many of the young people watch a webisode on YouTube called Three Siders, which is about three friends who are best friends, and they talk about the issues that young people deal with, sex, dating, school, everything to a T. I never heard of it to these young people. In their plan of this program, they did a community resource sharing where they brought community agencies out, free HIV/AIDS testing by the health departments. They also invited the stars from this webisode on YouTube to come have a discussion about HIV and AIDS and testing. They invited a Marine Corps member who living with HIV and the stigma of HIV/AIDS in the Marines to come and share his story. Then had a room of elected officials. There was representatives from our elected officials on the state and local level. We also had medical professionals there, doctor, parents, teenagers, community agencies in a room, and they facilitated a discussion. They did a radio PSA, and from that time to the next year, they had a 20% increase of people getting tested in Halifax County, which was phenomenal. But then they also learned from that people was not really ready to have that conversation either, because there was one thing that was hindering our community, not just for HIV/AIDS, because we don't like to talk about things in our community. People don't like to talk when they get sick. People don't go to the doctor. So they shifted just a little bit. So every World AIDS Day, they have a mini stigma conference where they come and talk about the stigma around poverty, around HIV/AIDS, around cancer, around those things, and they start talking about next steps. How do we as a community begin to address stigma so that we really can start addressing the true root problems in our community and start making system change? So that is profound when they really understand their purpose and how they can evolve in that and lead those discussions, which goes back to the journal that I wrote, A Better Chance for a Better Community. And if you give a young person opportunity or give them a voice at the table, you will be surprised at the work that they can do in your community. Because one, they hear from their people around them every day, and two, they're living it. And young people have a tendency to think outside of the box. We as adults sometimes, through our upbringing, our paths get narrow a little bit. Or into our experiences, it gets narrow a little bit. So we're not too comfortable stepping out of our comfort zone. But young people, they're knocking at the park. And they come up with what we seem to be radical ideas, but it brings people together and start addressing those true issues in a way that change starts to happen.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. You say there's a lot of great things you spoke on, a lot of things that need to be talked about in our community and things like that. And we're very appreciative to have an organization such as the ABC2 Foundation. You know, and again, for all y'all listening, you can visit abc2foundation.blogspot.com for more information. Also, tell them how they can make a donation to your organization as well.
All right, thank you. That's something we always do. We always talk about organization, and we do need funding. We do need support from people, and we're blessed to have funders who support us and sponsors. But the way you can do that is, one, go to our Facebook page, A Better Chance, Better Community. Make a donation there. Our website, abc2nc.org. Click on the donate link there and donate. You can cash out us at $ABC2NC. We do have a big fundraiser that we have going on to support our farm and also support the Life Skill Program that we call the World Changes Program, which is a produce fund run on April 27th, which is our official grand opening of the community farm. We have been doing small projects the last year and a half, but we need to officially open ourselves up to the world to let them know who we are. So we're going to have a fun run on the farm on April 27th, and also a grand opening. It's going to feature recording artists, musicians, vendors who want to come set up. There's no vendor fee, but those that want to make a donation to the organization can. We just want to expose everyone to what's going on. Thanks to our friends from the NC Climate Justice Summit. They're partnering with us. They're going to come out that day and support, and others from the Environmental Justice Network. So it's going to be a great day for people, not just from within the community of Halifax, but for the overall community as human beings, to come and embrace this space that has been grown and created for us to do multiple things to grow together. So if you want more information, it will be on your pages as well, because you do an excellent job in promoting individuals like myself and Waffle, Wellness Waffle.
Thank you.
So we want to make sure that we stay connected with you to make sure that we support this hub here to make sure that we're cross-reference our information, cross-pollinating the support for each other, because there is nothing like this really that support small people like us that's doing great things in our community.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you for that plug. Thank you for that shout out. Again, all y'all have been listening to the Wellness Wednesday radio special. Next Wednesday, we also have another Wellness Wednesday radio special, and that one will be on depression, you know, the Cry No More Depression special with psychologist Adrian Charleston and rapper Thor, the mighty Thor. Yes, he's not the comic book superhero Thor, but he's just as mighty. So tune in next Wednesday. I believe that's the 27th. I don't have the date in front of me right now, but it's next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Chester Williams, thank you again for being a part of this program and sharing the information to everyone listening and how they can be involved and everything that you're doing to help heal the community. We really appreciate that, and we'd love to have you on again. We're going to keep, like you said, we're going to keep the information going. Oh, yes. You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, and also – like he said, check out our platforms as well for more information on the community events and how you can get involved and how you can make donations and just, you know, anything involving the ABC2 Foundation. Also want to give a shout out to Felicia. Oh, excuse me. I'm gonna shout Felicia out next. But Markeisha Wyatt Bunn, the author and poet of the books Reflection, Past, Present, and Future, and Entangled Hearts. You know, get those books on Amazon.com. Also, if you have an Amazon Prime account, be sure to watch the movie. Be sure to stream the movie, Untimely Reunion. Untimely Reunion. And we have the executive producer of Untimely Reunion on this program. I'm not program, on this network podcast on demand. This Friday, we'll talk to the cast. We'll talk to some of the crew, and we'll talk to the executive producer herself, Felicia Rivers. And after we do the Q&A panel, we'll also have an indie film workshop. You know, to give you a chance to network with Felicia Rivers yourself. You want to chop it up with her and get connected with her because she has a deal with Amazon Prime, and she's producing a lot of films for Amazon Prime that you can stream and watch and things like that. So if you want to be on a movie on Amazon Prime, you know, Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, that may be a golden opportunity for you to network with the executives and get something going. All right, that's it. That's the Wellness Wednesday Radio. Oh, Chester, is there anything else you want to say?
Commercial on Amazon Prime.
Say it again.
I would like to find out how we can get a commercial on Amazon Prime.
Oh yes. That'll be a great thing. Shoot, actually, we could have see if Felicia and them could shoot it.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely. We're going to look into that. All right. Thank you all for tuning in, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
You do the same.
Yes.